We all should be hearing from God. Amen? But it takes more than just hearing from God. Holy Ghost, arrest me. Because we got this old flesh that wants to make us feel intimidated. You know, Dale Earnhardt was a great one, that in a NASCAR scene, is, and I'm not a NASCAR driver, but just being around this area, if you were Bill Elliott going back to the old days, or one of the other, Lake Speed, actually Jim Howard introduced us, we seen him at El Varte last Sunday. Jim just said, you know who that is right there? If you're in the lead and you look up in your rearview mirror and you see number three, your heart gets to going boom, 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 boom. It's just something about that black car and that number three that can intimidate. He was called the Intimidator. Yeah. Why? He was good at what he did. He enjoyed racing. Now, he loved you, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't pass you. Amen. He'll smile. He'll love you as soon as he passes you. Because, see, that's what we do in life, is I don't get joy in passing people if I don't love them. Because, see, I enjoy hearing from Reed and Patsy and Lewis because I want to know more. Yes. It's called being humble. Being humble. Amen? And don't let the devil intimidate you. And I'm not saying Dale Earnhardt was the devil. I'm just saying I'm talking about intimidation. The devil's good at what he does. He's an accuser of the brethren. Night and day, day and night, he's going to accuse you before God. But say, he's been cast out of that throne. God's not listening to him anymore. But the devil's listening to you. And God's listening to what we're saying. So if the devil intimidates us, thinking, accusing you night and day, and gets you to say some things, then God, he can't help us. Because he put power, life and death, is in the power of our tongue. And he said, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. So if we don't like what we're eating, we need to change what we're sowing. Right? These are seeds that come out of our mouth that when they get planted in somebody's heart and also in my heart, fruit's coming up. That can be good fruit or bad fruit. But God's fruit is always good. His tree is always good. You can't get nothing bad. You can't get no bad fruit off of God's tree. Jesus said the same thing. If you want to, you can't get bad fruit off of a good tree. Neither can you get bad fruit off of a good tree. The Word of God is life. And it's health. And we're going to talk about health today. That's just right up to where we're going to be talking about health and healing. Over here, Wednesday night Bible study, I had a couple weeks back, I took a vote who would like to hear. We could either go into teaching on finances or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I seen somebody just shaking as soon as I said gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I said, okay, we're going to go that way. But I need to give you a balanced meal. So we're hearing about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We need to hear about some healing. We need to hear about finances. We need to hear it all, and at the right season, at the right time. And just because you don't hear a specific promise taught here, a specific Sunday or Wednesday, don't think you can't go home and find it for yourself. Amen. I don't particularly like tomatoes on my burrito. But other people do. So you know, Lewis would probably go home and plant tomatoes, but I won't. I'll plant taters because I love taters and beans and taters and chili. Meat. But when you get into tomatoes, I don't know, just something about them. So, but healing is good. Amen. Healing is in the atonement. What we just did, man, we just did a spiritual, we just released power this morning, if you believe. Because you can come to church all your life and not receive any power. If you just come to sit here. But if you come here expecting, believing in what we're doing, you receive power. Man, we got some ladies back here, Maudie and Boots. I think Boots is going to be hitting 92 or 93. No, Maudie, not Boots. Yeah. Am I right, Maudie, 92? See, I'm not you, Boots. I guess sometimes preachers don't look at who we, when we say the name, we might be looking at somebody different, okay? I might be looking at Reed and say Lewis. Boots is like, no. I think Boots is around 83, so there's about 9 years difference. We're just going to have a Holy Ghost laughing session now. Reed's done lost it. He'd been there before. He'd done that, heard that. Don't get a woman's age wrong. Lord, don't go to that. Don't go there. Man, don't do that. Amen. 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 We got some medicine does good like a merry heart. We're getting merry heart. Maybe I was supposed to say that just to get us going. Bootsy got us going this morning. Praise God. See, Bootsy knows how to say something. She knows how old she is. Nobody gonna intimidate her. She knows when she was born. She knows how to add. And don't be saying something that ain't right. See, that's what we gotta, that's the play, our place that we gotta take like the devil right there. Is that right, Boots? I'm God's property. Get behind me, Satan. That's the tenacity we got to have concerning healing or anything that we want to receive from God. Psalms 91, we're not going to go there, but believe this and hear this. I know you know this. It is God's will for every person to live at least 120. I mean, that was his plan. That was what he spoken. And to live free from sin, sickness, disease, and poverty. I know Reed up here was mentioning earlier, talking about how to live with the same person for a number of years is hard. But the Lord said, but it is possible. So we don't leave off the it's possible. Because he knew marriage covenant after the fall was going to be hard. That's why he said, you can't do it without me. Now, you might pretend that you're doing pretty good because I was a pretender. Remember the old song, I'm a pretender? I was pretending to be something I wasn't to my wife, to my kids, young then. Kelsey, remember, it planted one of those daddy didn't show up at daycare one day. She remembered that. It made an impression in her, scarred her, but Jesus' scars has healed her from that. But it did impact her because daddy didn't show up. You know what daddy was doing? Daddy was on the computer chatting with other women. See, I'm just being honest with you, what the devil will do. He wants to destroy your marriage, your family, and eventually you. Amen. And that's every aspect of who you are. But see, now I got Kelsey's, I'm pastor of the church. Kelsey's in the ministry. We were pretty much done with two, but then we said, well, no, we want to have a number three. Who's the number three? Ruru shows up. We were expecting Ruthie. Can't say that about Rowan. But we didn't. God said, be fruitful, multiply. His word will come to pass unless you hinder it. So we said four is enough. So 2004 was the year of no more. He was born in 2004. We had to settle that. Me and Sherry had to settle some things. You know, God said, be fruitful. He didn't put a number on it. Why? He left that up to you and me. Right? I mean, older generations, we're talking about that could be 12 in Sherry's family and my grandpa, 11. I mean, that's kind of the norm. See, we've let the world really determine because of these things. Man, don't raise a big family. You can't afford a big family. That's what I heard. That's called a poverty mentality. It's called a spirit of lack. In other words, you're saying, God didn't say be fruitful, multiply, because you can't afford it. See, the devil adds something to what God said. God didn't say nothing about you couldn't afford it. He said be fruitful and multiply. There's a blessing on that. If you do it, we do it his way, right? And there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. So as far as healing, it is God's will for us to live 120 years up without sickness, sin, poverty. But we got to study to show ourselves approved to that 120. Now, Miss Alicia, she's still with us, 101. And she's proven, she's putting God's word to the test. But see, it's up to her and God. And it's up to you and me how long we want to be here. it's really not, you know, devil, he was the author of death. Because Jesus got that power back. He got that power of attorney back to us. So Genesis 6:3, if you want to turn there, we're not going to be here long. I want to hit a few things. If you want to know how it started, where do you go? You go back to the beginning, right? God says Genesis is in the beginning. Now, that's not the beginning of God. That's the beginning of what we know in the Bible. That's as far as back as we can go in our minds. It's been written down in a book, which is the Holy Bible. But Genesis 6:3, I'm going to read this. Genesis 6, chapter 3. How old are you, Boots? 83. See, I know now. See, now it might be a little bit more challenging because Reed's taking over the bulletin. He's helping me out in the ministry of helps. So I'm going to have to keep myself refreshed on birthdays and dates. So I might ask before I say. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, right? Genesis chapter 3, chapter 6, verse 3. Let me get there. My pages are sticking together. It must have been where one of my kids had ice cream around when I was reading, you know. Your pages stick together. The Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man. A lot of people leave off some words. Forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The Bible states how long man's body is designed to live. And I'll say, after the fall. God said this after the fall. Through Moses. I believe it's through Moses here. Genesis, Exodus. Moses wrote the first five books. So see, this is what God never intended us to die, period. He's not the author of death. But when death came in, now God said, well, I don't want you to live in this sick, broke body that you're going to have to suffer in for no more than 120 years. That's really an act of mercy. But you've got to understand, man used to live over 900 years before God instituted the law. So see, God's word's going to come to pass until he says something different. That's a good thing to say right there. See, he doesn't lie. He just changed something. He had to change a covenant because of not what he intended, but what we messed up. We messed up our life. We don't even need to go back and blame it on Adam. We just need to stand where we stand and know that we've got a lot more instructions here than Adam had. We got over 6,000 years that Adam didn't have. So let's not. I said something Wednesday night, and I'll say it again. As we were talking, sitting around talking, you know, it's a good time to discuss things as a family. Just sit around and talk. And you know, how far can you go back and just remember something you can remember? At what age? And, you know, you can sit there and think about that as a kid. Something impacted you. You know, Kelsey recollected that, but that's not as far back as you could go. But she just said at the age 3, usually it's when you can go back, because that's when the scientists watch your brain, do studies, that those first 3 years are critical of what's coming into that child, because it's the foundation that's going to determine how they look at things and act and react. Because think about it. How did you learn to talk and learn to walk? How did you learn, go further, how did you learn to talk English, Spanish, Portuguese? You saw and you heard. You didn't understand what you were saying. See, this is a good thing, just some nuggets there. God said, don't eat of that tree, Adam. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam didn't eat. He didn't understand it all. Faith, you don't have to understand faith. Just believe what God's word says. You don't have to understand how the seed goes into the ground and grows and becomes a corn. It has over 100 seeds on the kernel. Kernel. I think of generals and colonels. When you said God is generous, a general. What is a general? Man, he's a leader. Man, he knows how to direct things, how to organize things, how to attack things, defend things. A general, God is the general. He designed it all. He has designed our body how to heal itself, even before the fall. God knew Adam was going to stumble, fall, skin his knee. I'm sure Eve had it all figured out how she was going to fix it. Because the man going to need some help, right? Women, you need us too. But man, we need each other. My kids will tell you, they fall and get hurt. They don't come running to me. They come running to mama. Now, I'll pray for you. But then they're going to go run to mama because then she's going to put the natural stuff on it. She's supernatural too. But she knows you got to have more than just, they got to have a little bit more. Mama gives a little bit more rubbing and consoling and love, yeah, affection. See, we different. Kids, don't you look at daddy like he don't have no love. He don't love me. He don't love you like mama. Unconditionally we do, but we do it differently. Remember, the word of God is the same. God's the same. When this was written, no one had yet been born again. Genesis 6:3. After Jesus paid the price for us all, limits have been removed. When you think about 120, but really the limits have been removed. God's will is that every person be born again through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His will that none perish, but there's some perishing. Spiritual death, and I heard this was on a program this week. I wonder sometimes why I listen to these things and how long I listen to them, but then sometimes they just fit right in, and it's a good analogy. This guy was on, is it Larry King? He's still out here on the radio, Larry King Live. This was on YouTube, and Larry King was asking this guy the question, what happens when you die? And I don't even know the guy's name. I wouldn't mention it if I did, but he just pretty much started talking about how that, you know, well, food, you know, everything that you eat, everything that we consume is full of energy. I said, when I heard that energy, I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. Energy. And then all this energy comes in, you know, and then we go out here and we work and we release energy and all this energy that we have. And he just had this long dialogue, about 15 minutes. He said, but when we die, he says, when I die, he said, and they put me in the ground, they put my body in the ground. He says, all that energy is released. And you know, he thinks about how it makes the trees. And he says, so don't cremate me. I don't want to be cremated. My energy has no place to go. And then Larry King asked him, he said, well, so what about consciousness? You know, and this guy just pretty much, you know, well, you know, there is no state of conscience. You know, he's just pretty much, in other words, he's just pretty much, here I am until I die. Do the best you can, because when you die, you're gone. But I was like, Lord, let him know you before he, Lord, open up his mind and reveal yourself to him, because he's on a one-way path to hell, and he's going to realize that spiritual death is separation from God. It doesn't mean you don't exist. It means you are separated from God for eternity. That's spiritual death. That's what happened in the garden. The body was still alive, but it was separated from the life, revelation, knowledge of God. So when Adam disobeyed God, he took on the curse and died spiritually because he was separated from God. Everyone has a spiritual connection, either to God, which is life, or if you're not, you're connected to death, which is Satan. And he's the author of death. Jim Howard said it best this way: you're either saved or you're either a sinner or a saint. You're either saved or you ain't. There's two families on this earth. You're either one or the other, a sinner or a saint. I forgot the prefix there. Two families. That was the first point, if you're taking points, if you're not making points. The second point, talking about it is God's will for us to have his health. To live the life that Jesus lived here on this earth. Now, I don't want to go back and live in the culture that Jesus was brought up under. I thank God from where I am. I thank God from where I am right now. Because there was a lot of laws and regulations that he had to live under. But he knew that was just chains that he was going to nail to the cross in a 30-year period. The curse, number two, the curse and God's redemption plan are in each three parts. The curse and God's redemption plan are each in three parts. The threefold cord of the curse is, if you've taken notes, spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. If you had to break it down in three. It came on Adam, And that came on us, his descendants, when he was separated from God. Every sin. Now, God's answer to the curse of death was to send Jesus to be the Savior of the entire world. That's God's plan. Every sin has been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Every sin. So God's answer to sickness was for Jesus to be our healer. And so we don't need to, when sickness is hitting us, we don't need to get every book we can learn on, which is good. But that's not the time to get every book you can on healing. You need to focus on Jesus. Set your eyes upon Jesus. Because there's things even, and I'm talking, when I talk about books like Kenneth Hagin, or I'm not talking about this book, but some other books, because I need to personally hear what God's speaking to me right now. Now, all those other books that you learn and glean from, that is not a substitute for the Word of God. And even a lot of these authors I read from, they'll tell you the same thing. Because you can read a lot of people's books, and I'm not, there's some of them I can't remember the name, but I've read them to where they're the end of their life, and they were a minister, and they ministered in healing evangelists, and their home was tearing apart. They were consumed with alcohol at the end of their life. But they've done this great work for God. Yeah, but you got to keep things in priority. You got to keep your life balanced. God wants us to do these great things, but he don't want us to neglect the greater things, which is each other, right? If you make it that 120 years, you don't want to be burnt out. You know, we need some help. We need to help each other. Help each other along this journey. So God's answer to sickness was for Jesus to come, which he did, and become our healer. He is the Lord that healeth thee. God's answer to poverty was to make Jesus, like we're talking about, our high priest. We just made that confession this morning to Jesus. We asked him to receive our offering. That gets us out of poverty, because we're keeping God first in our finances. And see, we're declaring and we're decreeing and we're establishing that in our life. And God says, hundredfold. Hundredfold on the way. Now, you don't look for it. You just believe for it. Now, expect it, but I'm saying don't get out there and be looking, who's going to give it to me? Who's going to give it to me? No, God is your source. Because if you get your eyes off of that, then you're going to start sinking like Peter did. And you're not going to be at that place where that blessing is. And God will let you walk on water to get to it. If we keep our eyes focused on him, he'll get us however we need to get there. Amen. Somebody might move for you to move. Where you thought was going to be your destiny, God says, no, I got to move some things. I got to change some things. Because, see, man's not, all mankind's not listening to God. That doesn't mean you've missed God. It means you're listening to God. See, let him move the pawns on the table. Let him move the chess pieces. Because he knows where checkmate. I used to be a good chess player. I couldn't. I've downgraded back to checkers. Because my chess goes all the way back to middle school. Because I had a lot of time on my hands. And I was filling my mind with chess moves. Because you want to beat your friend. My friend was called Mike Foy. Mike Foy, if you're listening to this message, you could probably beat me in chess today. But can you come to the table of the Word? I think I might have you right here. I think I might have a few moves on them in the Word. Because, see, you got to keep your mind refreshed on all those moves, because it's all just pretty much mechanical. If A moves to B, then C's got to move to D. Right? So you have all these premeditated moves depending on how the other person moves. God is awesome at chess. He knows man's moves before we even move. He knows your need before you even ask. Therefore, he is the great chess player of life. And he knows what moves the enemy is going to make. The devil wants to get you in checkmate. But God says, I know his moves if you'll check with me. He won't let the devil get you into a corner, into a fix. And you ain't got to play all day or for 30 minutes. The devil moved out. You know, God put the devil in, Jesus put the devil in his place quickly. Because Jesus had something to do. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Samaria. He was going to where the Father said, go. And if the devil got in the way, the devil had to move. Amen. The Bible says the enemy will come against you one way. Hallelujah. I like it when the word is. I just don't want to say the word. I want you to know the word and quote the word. When the enemy comes against you one way, the Bible says he should flee you seven ways. I won't talk about that. I'm going to go to the third point. Just a little bit. Have to. You know, my kids, they love the Marvel. Wonder Woman just came out, so we're rushing to the theaters. But, you know, we don't let the word in the world determine what's right and what's wrong. This is just, you know, you have those books. Jim calls those books, those flesh books that you like. They're not true. They're just non-fictional Christian books, but it's for the flesh. You just have those flesh books that you like to read. They're encouraging to the flesh, but they're not maybe scripturally based all the way. Well, Marvel's not either, but when I talked about how when an enemy comes against you one way, he's supposed to flee you seven ways. I thought about Wonder Woman. When the enemy attacks you, put her bands together, and it's like a force went out from her. We would say the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's words we say. See, that's our offensive weapon. The Word of God is more powerful than anything on earth. This earth was created from God's Word. The spoken Word, which is the Rhema Word, believed out of man's heart and spoken, causes things to change. Causes tumors to be taken out of bodies. Amen? And it don't have to be this great. You don't have to animate it. You just believe it. And speak it by faith. And then God does the work. However, he needs to do it. Jesus didn't have to animate it. He didn't have to get loud. He didn't have to shout at the devil. Now, sometimes, I mean, you get excited. Your voice is going to get higher. I mean, whatever the Holy Ghost gives you. I mean, if the devil gets loud, you're going to probably need to get louder. Just let him know, hey, I'm not intimidated by you. Jesus said, you have no authority over me, devil. See, you got to know who you are, stand your ground, and sometimes you got to be forceful. Yes. Amen? Stand your ground. It's the high ground. It's not the low ground. Healing is your bread. It's a part of your benefit package in your health book, in your health coverage. Even if you don't have a job, you still got the benefit book. Amen? Number three. Last point there, God's answer to poverty was to make Jesus our high priest. He's our high priest. Number three, it is God's will that every person live free from sickness, disease, and poverty. And that's in Isaiah 53. Isaiah. Going back a little bit further. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs, that word griefs means sicknesses, and carried our sorrows. Are you carrying somebody's grief? That's not what you're called to do. And Jesus has carried our sorrows, that's your pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. See, a lot of times we look at, why did you let that happen to your son? See, we're trying to reason it. Lord, I wouldn't let that happen to my son, but my son was not the Son of God that would save the entire world from their sin. But see, he was, why? Here's the question. But he was wounded for our, he was beaten and whipped and bruised and martyred beyond recognition. For our benefit, for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And I like the end, the last quote. And with his stripes, we are healed. Present tense. Well, I don't feel healed. I don't feel healed either a lot of times. But that doesn't change the Word of God. It doesn't change the sacrifice that Jesus paid for you. You are healed. That's what I got to say to my body. That's what I got to say to my children. That's what I got to say to anybody that needs healing. You were healed. Now you am healed. It's bad English, but you are healed. The healed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, say so. Redeemed means I'm healed. Redeemed means I'm saved. Redeemed means I'm free from the curse of poverty. I'm the head, not the tail, I heard. Dale Earnhardt liked to be the head. He did not like, I think he might have knew that scripture. He liked to be ahead, and he not like to be behind. There's not a good payday for whoever coming in behind. In other words, second place is just you, just a second, how you say it, the second loser, the first loser. Second place is nothing but the first loser, right? Healing is not a future promise. It's a fact. Healing is not something I'm going to get. Healing is something I have now. And that's 1 Peter 2:24. That's in the new covenant. Yes. We have a new covenant, new and better promises, because the blood of Jesus is much more greater than the blood of bulls and goats. Yes. First Peter 2:24 was one of the first ones I hung on to. Look at verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Talking about Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. This is our example. If when they revile you, we're not supposed to revile in return. In other words, get hit on one cheek, give them the other cheek. That's what Peter's saying. When Jesus suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That was he'd already settled that in the garden. Not my will, but your will be done. This was God's will, that Jesus be smitten, but the end result was so that Cindy could be healed, so that Ruthie could be healed, so that Rowan is healed. I need to change it could be to is healed. Because see, Jesus, Isaiah was speaking of a future day when Jesus would come, would be the healer, would be our way to the healing, to God's healing power. Amen? Who himself bore our sins, not his sins, our sins. Jesus had no sin. That's what's so great about this covenant we just partook of. What did I have to give? All my sins. What did Jesus have to give? All the life of God. All his righteousness. He had no sin. See, that's what's so awesome about covenant. God doesn't need to be healed. He is healed. He is the healer. I'm the one that needs to be healed. I couldn't heal myself. My body is made to heal, but when the devil would hit me, I had no defeat against that until Jesus come and defeated him by the words of his mouth. And he defeated him and got our authority back. Now, how do we live by example? We say the same thing that Jesus said. Satan, I refuse to take this in Jesus' name. I'm not looking at my DNA. I'm looking at my blood covenant. With my DNA has been changed. My blood has been changed. My future has been changed because Jesus changed my future. And he never changes. He is the healer, so I'm healed. That's what I got to believe. That's what I got to say. That's who I am. That's who all God's people have partaken of this covenant are. They just don't know it yet. They go to the doctor to find out, and that's okay. But unless he sees it, he's not going to really tell you, unless he's a Christian brother that walks by faith that says, this is what you're battling, but you're healed. He'll just maybe give you the battle and give you a prescription for the battle. All the natural things you can do, which is good, but we need more than just the natural. We need the supernatural. We need the Word of God that goes past that what we were created from. Because with the Word of God, I have the peace of God. If I got the peace of God, I got the rest of God. If I got the rest of God, it's like sitting in a bed. It's like laying in a bed in a hospital. I'm resting and I'm being healed. Glory to God. Amen. And it don't cost you anything. That doctor's going to, that's the way he makes his living. And there's a lot of sick people. He's making good money. Until all the sick people understand, Christian people understand they're healed. And he might have to get a second job. I don't know. Praise God. I don't think it's going to get that. Jesus said you're going to have always the poor is going to be with you. Whoever's poor is the poor that don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus is a healer. It's not just being poor financially. It's being poor in your body, in your health, in your emotions. You want to find poverty? Know Jesus. Capital N, know Jesus. That's poverty. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not encouraging everybody to come to the front, but sometimes the people on the front, they draw it out of it. The Holy Ghost, and it's like, man, we just had to go that way. Man, that's awesome. Now, he pulls from the back row, too. I'm missing Larry that's back there. Where's Larry go? Okay. Larry's resting, receiving healing in Jesus' name. People are missing. Now, there's some people on missions in here. Elaine's sitting with Hank and his wife Helen. She's bringing the word to them right now. She's ministering faith, ministering the word. She's being that person of faith that somebody can draw from right now. It's kind of like the shot the doctor gives you. He puts something in you, makes you feel a lot better. That's who we are. We're Holy Ghost injectors, amen, that God can use to inject somebody with faith, with healing. Instead of chemo, give them Jehovah Rapha. Rapha. There's basically three ways to view healing. There are basically, three ways that people have viewed healing. I need to say it that way. They're wrong. These are what we hear. God doesn't heal anymore. This is extreme. We know this is not true because I've been healed. This is my testimony and I'm sticking to it. Now some ways the doctors have helped, but a lot of ways it's all been the Word of God. God does heal, but only a special act of mercy or special faith. Sometimes he does heal. Sometimes he doesn't. You never know what God's going to do. That's another view a lot of people think. It's all up to God. He's sovereign. If you're going to get healed, it's just his will, and it'll happen when it happens. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. What'll be, will be. They listen to too much Shakespeare, I believe, in school. And we know this is not true because it's clear in the Word of God that he wants to heal everyone. The Bible says everyone that came to Jesus, he healed them all. Not all that were out there. All that came to Jesus expecting healing got healed. Because if you're expecting it and you want it, he's got it. He can't give you nothing bad. He doesn't have it. And that's what's sad. The world thinks he's got everything. Everything good and bad comes from God. Two different trees out there. Right? That's why God had to have two trees. He had to separate it. He had to separate it. This is not your tree. Don't mess with it. Look at it that way. Do not mess with this tree. But your reasoning, and this is where the devil comes in, if you tell somebody not to do it, you watch kids, they'll do the exact opposite you tell them not to, just because of that sin nature that's on the inside, the devil saying, by God, I'm going to do it because he told me not to. That's called pride. And pride will take you on a ride you don't want to ride on. God wants to heal. Here's another one. God wants to heal everyone, and he will heal those who ask him. Faith, believing, Jesus bore the punishment in his body for our total healing. When Jesus was condemned and crucified, he took on himself man's sin, sickness, disease, poverty, and the curse that was on mankind. His death simultaneously forgave our sin and provided healing for our sicknesses. He bore everything that kept us from the presence of God, and then he went to hell and paid the price. That sounds like the covenant I have. Jesus did what was necessary for all men to be born again and to be healed. Not only, same, took the same amount of grace for you to get saved as it does to get healed. Faith in that grace. Amen. Same thing. You might just have to apply it more and apply it more and apply it more, because that might just be an area that the devil's fighting real hard right there. In other words, you got the seed in the ground, he's trying to pull it up. It's like a tug of war going on, because he knows once it comes up out of that ground and gets, once it's rooted in the ground, he knows he ain't going to get it out. That's why you got to keep saying the word, saying the word. You're getting your roots down, putting your roots down, putting the roots down. Psalms 91, our next point, and we're closing here. Psalms 91 teaches us how to apply God's will. How to apply. We start with a declaration. That's the way you enter into the secret place of the Most High. You must believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. You must believe. Jesus said you must believe. Can't leave that part out. Believers believe. That's what we do. Believe when it don't even look like you should believe. Declaration, I will say of the Lord, Psalms 91, he is my refuge. Not going to be, he is my healer. He is my healer. Lord, you are my healer and my fortress. He is my God, and I trust in him. That's all you say. You're finished. Your declaration, you have decreed it. You have declared it. Now, your declaration or your confession is received by your High Priest, Jesus. It's been received. He is the receiver. He heard it. He received it. And he's not hard of hearing. He's not hard of hearing, and he's not hard of healing, because he is the healer. He is the High Priest of your confession. Remember, you will possess what you truly confess out of your heart. And that's Hebrews 3:1. He is the High Priest of your confession. He is the apostle. Apostle is one that has been sent. He was sent to pay for your healing and my healing. And anointed. He is the anointed one. He's anointed and he's been appointed by God to be the one that was going to be sent. When we repent, we receive our healing. Jesus takes what you say, and it's right what Lewis did here at the offering, and presents it to the Father. To the Father. A sweet-smelling savor. I think about the way y'all are looking at me. It's like, what's the next point? Remember, I said that's a closing point. But remember, when Peter and John went to the gate temple, the beautiful gate, and that beggar was there begging for alms. And I think we ministered here that Sunday when Jim was here and walked out and talked about it in the parking lot. Money can't buy you legs, but faith in God's word can. Promises of God can buy you new legs. I think about Forrest Gump, the movie Forrest Gump. Remember, the guy lost his legs, and then at the end of the movie, you gotta filter a lot out of that movie, but it had some good points. At the end of the movie, here he comes walking with those titanium legs, and Forrest says, "Lieutenant Dan, you got legs." And he hit it. He didn't know he had titanium legs. But faith can buy you legs, can buy you eyesight, can buy you a total clean bill of health. Faith in the promises of God. See, Peter and John went to the temple, and we talked about it. They didn't have to get in an agreement to pray for that beggar. They were already in agreement. In other words, I think they had a little prayer meeting before they left. They said, "Peter, John, we're going to church. Peter, you got your, John, you got your wallet? No, I don't need it. We're going to church. We're going for somebody else today. We didn't need to give money today. We need to give the promises and the power of God today." Not that they didn't have money. They just said, "No, we're leaving that home today. We're going to give them something better." See, that beggar been needing money all those years. For sometimes when God, when you don't have your wallet in your back pocket, maybe it's for a reason. Maybe you got something better to give. Amen. Man, that's awesome right there. I like that. Because, see, I would try to, that's the least I can do. I can get you to a doctor. Man, God says, no, give them something you don't have. You don't have the ability, Robert. Give them what I gave you. Give them the healing word, the healing power of God. Give them the hope and the promises of God. Give them what I've done in your life. Give them a testimony of what God has done and wants to do. Amen? That's the better thing to have. Have your wallet of faith. I've got a lot of those wallets. A lot of times there ain't hardly no money in there. But that ain't the end of the story. That's just the beginning. Because I used to have money in my wallet, but I was broke when I was lost. Because I owed more than I had in my wallet. With interest, I'll say. And man, interest is not good. Shut your eyes right there. Father, we thank you right now that, Lord, you are our healer. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for administering healing right now through this body. Lord, for administering healing right now, Lord, that people have been believing you for, Lord, that I'm believing you for, Father God, for strong knees. Lord, I'm calling my knees, and you call what you need to call. You don't have to call it out loud, but you do need to declare it. I call my knees healed. I call my pain in the joints of my fingers healed right now in the name of Jesus. You might need to say what you believe. You might need to say, you ain't got to say it out loud, but you can. Kelsey's going to play some music for us as it softly plays here. You need to say what Jesus says. Father, they're healed. I'm their healer. Knees, you're healed. See, we call those things that be not. Knees, you're strong. Knees, you're healed. Eyesight, you need to correct yourself. Eyes, you need to go back the way God formed you to be. My eyes are healed in the name of Jesus. I don't have no generational diseases. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my anchor. Lord, I thank you. You set me free. Jesus, you set your people free. Lord, I call your people free from sickness, poverty, or disease right now in this place, in this place of worship. Lord, this is your temple, and it's beautiful. Lord, we are your temple. We are your people who've been called out, called by your name, called by Jehovah Rapha, called by your name. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, I thank you. I give you place right now in your people, in your church, Lord. I call you. I call your people healed, walking in divine health, doing what they could not do, doing what things they could not do, doing them now in Jesus' name. Strength to your body right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting these words right now in our bodies, for blood pressure being normal. Lord, for our eyesights being better, being sharper, Lord, just like those eagles, Lord, they can see things from sky high. They can focus and see the details. Lord, that's the eyesight I want. That's the eyesight I claim, Lord. I don't like looking through these lenses. Lord, I like taking these glasses off and seeing how natural things look without man-made spectacles. Lord, I like what you gave me before the foundations of the world. You gave me good eyesight. And I claim it. Proclaim it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the covenant that was sealed in your blood, Lord, that we'll confess. Lord, we're going to remember that until you come, until we see you in the clouds of glory, till we see you physically with our eyes. We're going to decree and we're going to declare your word and your promises because they are more assured. If I would see an angel walk in this room right now, your word is more settled in me. And I just thank you right now, Father God, for your people living long, living strong, living healthy lives and helping others, Father God, for us being the miracles and healings, Lord, that we can take out of this house and take into the world to show the world how much you love them. We thank you for that right now, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for having your way, manifesting your presence in our place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift up Hank, and we thank you, Lord, that Elaine has been there with Helen and Hank, Lord, to show forth how great you are, how great a God you are, Father. And we just thank you, Lord. We just pray that Hank can open up his heart to just simply believe how great and precious your word is and how powerful your word is, and let it consume him like a consuming fire and drive out all the attacks that's coming against his body right now, Lord. Lord, let him be raised up off that bed of affliction right now and be like a brother Kenneth Hagin to go out and then share the gospel of how God is a healer. Lord, that's what the devil wants to take us out, but Jesus wants to bring us glory in our body so we can go out and be a testimony of the great God that we serve. So we say, we bind you off of his body right now. In the name of Jesus, we put a spiritual no trespassing sign right now on his body and command you to get off of him, get out of his life, Satan. Get out of his body in Jesus' name. We call him healed. We call him what Jesus says, you're healed. Rise up and be healed. Hank, rise up and be healed in Jesus' name. Hank, rise up and be healed in Jesus. Hank, rise up and be healed in Jesus' name. Completely healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Any personal prayers this morning we can agree with you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Stand with me this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to not say anything that needs to be said. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody special just walked in the room. Millie. I get to lift up Millie this morning. See, I don't want to say anything, leave out anything. This little girl walked into the prayer room while we were praying this morning, and she grabbed hands and she prayed. And she's a blessing. She knows where her help comes from. Her help comes from the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for Millie, and we thank you, Lord, for Brenda, for all the ministry of the helps here, the children's helps ministries, Lord, the ministers that are ministering life, putting a foundation in these kids that come in, Lord. We thank you that Millie also will take others by the hand and will lead them to Jesus and will lead them out of darkness and will lead them into light, that will lead them to Jesus. You said, Father, by a child I'll lead them and guide them. By children of faith. And we thank you, Father God, that that word is on the inside of her. And that word, your word will guide her. And the stranger's voice, Millie will not listen to. She will not listen to a stranger's voice. But she will listen to the voice of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we're done.